Well, good morning, everyone. It's another beautiful Sunday morning to come together to worship God. Thank you to the praise team for the wonderful set of worship. And I really hope that we can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit moving among our congregation today as we sing to God. And I pray that He'll continue to work in our hearts as we approach the Word of God. The Word of God that is such a beautiful thing. It's the word spoken by God. It's given to us so that we can know God and come to know Him more. Now, if you were here with us last week, you would have remembered that we had established, a truth statement, and you all can agree with me or not on this, but we have said that the clothes that we wear usually play a big part into showing who we are, who our identity is. Remember, I have said that how sometimes when you look around in school, you can really be able to tell who is who based off of what they wear. You can be able to identify the group of jocks because of their jerseys that they wear and because of their protein shakes. You can be able to look around and you'll be able to identify the emos because of their dark clothing and their chains and their emo music. You can look around and you can identify the nerds because of their thick rimmed glasses, their pocket protectors, their TI-84s. I know RPI is full of those nerds, right? Or we know that we can be able to identify the preppies because they are always wearing these high-class expensive dress. And okay, I guess I admit that all these, to a certain point, may seem a little bit stereotypical. But it is true to a certain point that our clothing, what we wear, in a way, plays a big part in who we show our identity is. So the question is, if we are a Christian today, what clothes are you wearing? Now, I'm not talking about physical clothes that you wear on yourself every morning, but I'm talking about what you wear in terms of your behavior, in terms of your actions, in terms of the practices that you do, that you put on. Last week, we focused on part of our daily Christian living is to remove, to put aside, or to really, in a very serious tone, to put to death sinful practices that are in our life. Because these sinful practices, like sexual immorality, like idolatry, anger, these things do not characterize what a Christian should be. So that's why, just like my dirty gym clothes, you know, we have to put them off, we have to remove them. They shouldn't be part of a Christian. Now, on the other hand, we need to know what we should put on. We should know what we should clothe ourselves with. Because we are a Christian. We have been saved by God. We've been transformed by Him. And this type of change and transformation should affect what we wear, or in other words, how we live our life, the godly practices that we put on. So part of the daily Christian living in our mindset, we should always be constantly removing sinful practices and putting on or clothing us with practices that characterize ourselves as a Christian and that reflect who God is. So, you know, every single morning, what is the first thing you do when you wake up? Yes, breathe. I mean, those things you don't even think about. They become natural to you. But you would usually sigh at your alarm clock, turn it off, go into the bathroom, brush your teeth, and then you will head to your closet and you try to decide, what should I wear today? Well, I appeal to you that in addition to doing that, we should always, you know, do at the beginning of our day, also think about, what should I wear? What godly practices should I take on and live out as a Christian to fully reflect God and who He is? So let's take a look into God's closet and see what are the kind of godly practices that we should clothe ourselves with. If you have your Bibles, please take them out. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3, and we are only going to be looking through verses 12 to 14. Again, this is our eighth sermon in a sermon series entitled The Preeminence of Christ. Now again, preeminence means that Christ is number one or Christ is first. He's first in the sense that he is supreme above all things, above all creations. He is preeminent in the sense that he is before all things. By him and through him, all things were created. And then he is also first in the sense that he is number one in priority in our life. So the question again is Christ number one in your life? So we'll see how Christ is preeminent in our life through the godly practices that we clothe ourselves with. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Please follow along as I read the word of God. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let us bow before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it's such a pleasure to be able to know you and your love, to know that we can find salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Thank you for transforming us. Thank you for changing us. And as we live through our Christian lives, we desire to honor you in every single aspect. By your grace, continue to sanctify us as you help us put off and remove sinful practices and replace them with godly practices which we clothe ourselves in. Godly practices that reflect who you are. Godly practices to honor you. Father, I pray that you would teach us through this passage. And we lift up all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So today there's going to be 3 points concerning about the godly practices which we should clothe ourselves in. The Apostle Paul begins this section by listing out some godly practices, or in particular, virtues that the Colossians should practice. Read from verse 12. He tells the Colossians, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." So here's the first thing that I want you to keep in mind here. First point, godly practices reflect our individual identity as Christians, as chosen, set apart, and loved by God. Godly practices reflect our individual identity as a Christian who is chosen, set apart, and loved by God. If we are a Christian today, keep in mind that God has chosen us. Isn't it a great thing to know that God would choose us, would invite us to be in his presence and to share in his glory, his love, his mercy, and his grace? God has chosen you if you have accepted him as your Savior. That's why the Apostle Paul, he gives this command, this imperative to the Colossians, to put on, or your translation may say, to clothe yourselves. But the people to put on or to clothe ourselves with God, these godly practices are those, it says here, who are God's chosen ones, who are holy and beloved. So in addition to being God's chosen one, you are also characterized as someone who is holy. Now, to be holy means that you are set apart from the rest of the world. You are set apart in the sense that you are called to leave a life of sin and to live a life that is pleasing to God. You're also set apart and holy in the sense that you're given a specific calling. All of us as Christians are given a mission to go out and be missionaries, to share the gospel message with other people so that they can come to the saving knowledge and faith of Jesus Christ as well. So we're also holy in that sense. And finally, we're also characterized as someone who is beloved, someone who is loved by God. And I know in this world, we're always trying to fight for people's love and people's attentions, whether it's our parents, whether it's our friends, our other family members. But to know that we are guaranteed loved by God, that should give us hope. That should give us peace in our hearts. So because of who we are as Christians saved by God, who are chosen, who are holy, set apart, and who are loved, we are to put on or to clothe ourselves with these godly practices. So let's go through each of these virtues and see how they actually contribute to our identity. Remember how I said that the things that we wear, our clothing, very often plays a big part into showing who we are in our identity. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. First thing is compassionate hearts. So we are to put on or clothe ourselves with passionate hearts. In the Greek, this literally means bowels of mercy. Yes, bowels, like your internal intestines. And that's because the Greek philosophy and Greek thought is that your passion, your emotions comes from your intestines. But in the Western thought, of course, emotions come through the heart. So that's why your translation translates it as compassionate hearts. But nevertheless, this should show how deep and how passionate our type of compassion that we should have for one another and for other non-believers as well. This is something that characterizes us as a Christian. If we say that we believe in him and we follow him, we should clothe ourselves with this deep compassion and love for one another. The next virtue here is kindness. Kindness is also often a word referred to in scripture, referring to God's loving mercy. Now, a lot of times when we deserve judgment, when we deserve punishment for our sins, scripture would describe God's kindness or God's mercy. So even though we deserve punishment, God will relent of that and still save us. So likewise, because God has done this in our lives, we should also show acts of kindness to one another too, in reflection to who God is. So let us also clothe ourselves with this virtue of kindness, which characterizes us as a Christian. The next virtue here is humility. Humility is the opposite of being prideful. It is the willingness to listen to other people. It is the posture of someone who is willing to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. How can we say that we are Christian and not be humble? Because if we are very prideful, everything revolves around us. And this is contrary to the whole theme of this sermon series, which is that Christ is preeminent. Christ is supposed to be our point of centeredness. Christ is supposed to be number one. So humility is also another thing that Christians should clothe ourselves with. The next virtue is meekness. Meekness doesn't mean that you are to be very soft-spoken or to be very timid or anything. But rather, meekness is an attitude of gentleness. It is the opposite of anger. How many times that when someone has done something wrong to us, that we automatically just turn to anger, that we want to get back at them, that we want revenge? That's not an attitude that is reflective of a Christian. We should put on and clothe ourselves with meekness. And finally, which I feel this is the hardest for me to put on, is that of patience. Again, patience, similar to meekness, is not seeking revenge when someone wrongs you. Patience is also in the sense where we're waiting for God's timing. We know about God's promises in our life. And we know, God, how long do I have to wait for your promises to come? Maybe you're waiting for, when you finish taking a test and you're waiting for your good grades to come. Or maybe you are waiting for, God, for you to provide that one person in your life who will make you happy. Throughout this life, we always need to continue to clothe ourselves with an attitude of patience as well. So you see how practicing all of these virtues can show that we are chosen people of God and show that we have been set apart, we are holy, and that we are loved by God. Which one of these virtues do you feel like you need to work on the most? And just as God can be able to provide you with the grace to remove sinful practices in your life, God will also provide you with the grace to be able to help you put on or clothe yourself with these virtues. So take some time to think about which of these virtues that you feel weak in. Ask God to help you to put on, to clothe yourself. And God can teach you through scripture and God will always answer you. And that is a promise. So our first point again is that godly practices reflect our individual identity as a Christian who is chosen, set apart, and who is loved by God. But another thing that I want to move on towards in our thinking is that this idea of putting on and clothing ourselves with godly practices isn't merely for our individual identity. It also gives us our identity corporately as a church, as a group. So this is our second point. Godly practices reflect our corporate identity as a Christian community. Godly practices reflect our corporate identity as a Christian community. Let's read from verse 13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So this phrase, bearing with one another, and also jumping to the phrase, forgiving each other, these are two phrases which actually modify the first command back in verse 12, which is to put on, or in other words, to clothe yourself, your translation may say. So this means that as we put on godly practices, as we clothe ourselves with godly practices, we do so in a way where we are bearing with one another as a group, meaning that we are putting up with one another. We're doing it in a way where we're also forgiving one another. This shows that as we put on these godly practices, it reflects not only our individual identity as a Christian, but our corporate identity as a body of believers in Christ. I remember a long time ago, when I was little, my family and a few other families went on a trip during the summer for a couple of weeks. We went up to the Canada area and then even further up to Nova Scotia. So during this trip, we would go through all the different national locations. We would take a lot of pictures, museums. And of course, we would do a little bit of shopping as well. So we went into this clothing store. I don't know, I remember the name of it or anything. But there is something that really characterizes the salespeople there. You know, usually salespeople, they always wear some sort of uniform or something that shows you that they work there. So it's sort of similar to, you know, how at Best Buy, they always wear like the blue polo shirts and the khakis, or at Staples, which is a red polo and khakis. Well, this particular clothing store that we went to, these people wore pink polo shirts and khakis. And lo and behold, my friend's father also happened to be wearing a pink polo and khakis. So when he walked in there, it was a little bit awkward because there were actually a few people who thought that he worked in the clothing store and they were asking him questions and stuff. And he was like, oh, no, I don't really work here. So my point in sharing this story is that in the store, the thing that characterizes that these salespeople is that they were wearing a uniform. They clothed themselves with a pink polo shirt and khakis. That is something that identifies them as the salespeople of the store. But for us as Christians, the thing that other people outside the church, when they look at us, what is the uniform thing that should be there? They should see that we're wearing this and clothing ourselves with forgiveness and clothing ourselves with the attitude of bearing one another. We as Christians should be characterized by this act of forgiveness. And we are able to forgive. Why? Because Christ had forgiven us first. Look in verse 13 again. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Because of what Christ has done and forgiven us, we reflect him by also forgiving one another. So this shows not only that putting on godly practices shows who our identity is as a Christian, it also shows that we have a corporate identity in Christ, but also in addition to that, as this corporate identity, we also reflect our master, which is Jesus Christ. Because he has forgiven us, we go out and we forgive others. Now, what does it mean to forgive? Forgiveness, in one way, can be seen as the cancellation of a debt. So yesterday, during or after the praise team rehearsal, we had praise team training, and because no one planned for what we were going to do for lunch, so that's why we took the whole praise team to go over to the Subway, and there's a Dunkin' Donuts over down on the Western Ave, right next to the Price Chopper there. And a few of you praise team members didn't have money with you, so you came and you had to ask me to borrow money. So you know who you are, cough, cough, Keith, Edward, Helen, and Luis, you still owe me money. Now, if I was a forgiven person, I could forgive you of your debt, meaning that I can be able to say, okay, because even though you owe me something and in a way you have hurt and pained me in this way, I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm going to wipe that debt clean and you are forgiven. However, I'm not going to do that. If you want me to forgive you for any other sins you caused me, that's fine, but I think you should still pay me back my money. I'm not God anyways. But again, this is the idea of forgiveness, the cancellation of a debt. When someone has wronged you, maybe they said something very hurtful, maybe they stolen from you, whatever it is, you take on a type of pain and you take on a type of hurt. To forgive that person really means to forgive them of that that debt that they owe you and to really take on that pain and take on that hurt. Now, let's think back into the whole gospel. What did God do because he loved us? Oh, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. What was our condition? We have sinned against God. We have wronged against him. And because of our sins, we deserve to be punished. A price had to be paid for our sins. So that's why God sent Jesus to die on the cross, so that Christ paid the price for our sins. We're forgiven. The penalty has been paid for. God's wrath has been satisfied. And that's the whole idea of God forgiving us. Because of this great thing that God has done in our life, and because we accepted this gift of salvation and we can spend all of eternity with Christ in heaven after we pass from this life, like this amazing thing that's happened, shouldn't we go and shouldn't it change our life too? So whenever other people wrong us or does something to hurt us, as a Christian, we should clothe ourselves with an act of forgiveness. This is the thing, or one of the elements that should characterize us as a Christian. When the outside world, the message outside there is that, oh, someone hurt you, you should get revenge. Someone hurt you, you should also hurt them back. But when they see us as Christians forgiving one another, bearing one another, they should see Christ. They should see God. Are we clothing ourselves with this attitude of forgiveness? Are we clothing ourselves with the virtues that were listed here in verse 12? Again, our second point is that godly practices reflect our corporate identity as a Christian community, specifically in terms of how we bear one another and how we forgive one another. Finally, I believe there's one more thing that really characterizes us as a Christian. And this thing is the most important element, I would say. The most important thing that you should clothe yourself with. It's so important that, I mean, you wouldn't walk outside of your house with no shirt on. No, you need something to cover yourself with. That's how important it is. And this is an important part of unifying the whole body of Christ. Let's read verse 14 to see what is this important thing. Verse 14, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." So right here, I'm actually reading from the ESV, the English Standard Translation. And you may notice that it reads a little bit different if you are reading from the NIV, or the New International Version. This is what the NIV actually says. "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." So in this sense, the NIV already makes an interpretation. It's seeing above all, actually it translates as over all in a literal sense. So literally, love becomes an outer garment that covers, that's why it says over all, that covers over all the other virtues that you are clothing yourself with. So it seems to suggest that, you know, without love, you can't be able to practice all the other types of virtues. And these virtues, again, are very interpersonal. They affect our relationship with one another. However, I don't think that this is a correct translation. I prefer the ESV, which uses the word above all in the sense that it means in addition to, or in another sense, more important than anything else. So, reading again from the ESV, and above all, the most important, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Love should be the most important. And we see this consistent in other scriptures too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, you're very familiar with this, it says, so now faith, hope, and love abide, but these three, but the greatest of these is love. So love, again, should be the most important. It binds everything together. The NIV, again, translates or interprets everything as being the individual virtues, but I take everything here, at least as the ESV seems to suggest, as literally everything within the Christian community. Because in context, remember, the Apostle Paul is talking about how these godly practices also shows us who we are as a body of Christ in our identity in him. So love should also characterize us as Christians in terms of bringing us unity. So this is our third point. The most important practice is love, which unifies the Christian community. The most important practice is love, which unifies the Christian community. Here again, we see something that points us back to God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love because he has first loved us. The reason why we can be able to love one another is because God has loved us first. The reason why we are able to forgive one another is because Christ has forgiven us first. Again, clothing ourselves with these virtues and with these practices points to our relationship with God. And this is something that is missing in the secular world. Now, here's something that I guess I do have to address, because the secular aspect of the word love may seem different than how we understand love or tolerance. Before, like, the word tolerance is supposed to mean acknowledging that there are different worldviews, that there are different people who have different worldviews out there. It's just the acknowledgement of it. But however, in today's society, it seems to change that definition of tolerance and love to mean that you have to accept every differing view, even though it may seem very contradictory to what we believe as Christians. So that's why a lot of people who aren't Christians will say, oh, Christians are very close-minded, Christians are hypocrites and they are very bigots. But that's because it's based off their idea of love. They think that to love means to accept every single viewpoint and every single ideology that they may have. But we know that this is not the case. How could love in this passage mean to really accept every single practice, whether it's wrong or not, when before the Apostle Paul had commanded us that as Christians, we should put off, remove, and put to death these sinful practices, things that aren't pleasing to God? See, there is a fine line that defines right and wrong. So in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul also tells us that we should speak the truth, but to speak the truth in love. This, both of them are important. We can't say, oh, I just love you and just accept you the way you are without truth. And at the same time, we can't just tell them the truth, oh, that's wrong, that's sinful, you shouldn't do that, without doing so in love. We need to have that balance. So part of Christians as clothing us ourselves with love is to have that distinction of right from wrong. And sometimes the most loving thing we can do, especially within the Christian community, is to correct someone and approach them and let them know, hey, I think that this, what you're doing here is not right before God. Let's say that there is this boy, and for whatever reason, he wants to get on top of the roof of his house. So he asks his father, hey, Dad, can I have this ladder and go upstairs on top of the roof and dance around? You've done that? I don't know about how your house is, but anyways, I don't think a good and loving father wouldn't give that ladder to the boy. You know why? Because he knows that if the boy continues to go on like this and gets the ladder and goes on top of the roof, he can hurt himself. But the little boy, not knowing any better, would think, oh, it seems like a fun and okay thing to do. So because the father has this knowledge that there's something that they're doing that will hurt them, that's why out of his love, he would say that he shouldn't do it. So we also as Christians, we know right from wrong. We know what is true from false because we have God's word. So we have this discernment to also lovingly point out the truth to other people within the congregation and also outside the congregation too, because this is who we are. This is how we're supposed to clothe ourselves as Christians. So to review the 3 points that we've seen in this passage concerning godly practices that we should clothe ourselves with. 1, godly practices reflect our individual identities as Christians. Christians who are chosen by God. Christians who are set apart by God. And Christians who are loved by God. 2, godly practices also reflect our identities as corporately, as a Christian community, as we bear one another, as we forgive one another. This is, forgiveness is one of the things that characterizes us, that we are in unity, that we are a Christian community. And finally, the 3rd point, the most important practice is love. And this love unifies us as a Christian community. Next time when we come back to the book of Colossians, we will talk more about how as this Christian community, in our daily Christian living, can we be unified together and how can we submit to the Lordship of Christ as one body of Christ together. So again, in addition to removing sinful practices in our daily Christian living, we should also be putting on and clothing ourselves with godly practices. What we wear plays a big part in who our identity is. And we don't want to be a hypocrite. We don't want to claim to know and follow Christ and yet live completely contradictory to it. Other people, especially non-Christians, will be able to notice it. That's why it's so important for us to know what does God expect of us, what are the virtues, and what are the practices that we should clothe ourselves with. If you aren't sure about your identity, then you would start to explore and go through, maybe I'll try on this shirt, maybe I'll try on this style. That shows that you aren't sure and you aren't confident about your identity. But however, if we are confident in our relationship with Christ, if we are confident that Christ has saved us and loved us to the point where he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, then this type of confidence and this type of guarantee in our life should be reflected in our godly practices in terms of what we clothe ourselves with. Let us pray as we consider how God is speaking to us and see how we can apply this in our lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you again. You know, every single Sunday, it may seem that we're just going through the motions. We're just here in church, maybe because our parents make us, and maybe we think that this is just the right thing to do. Lord, help us to break out of this mode of going through the motions and truly focus on our relationship with you. Lord, if we are confident about our identity in you and how you have saved us and loved us, I pray that by your grace, you will continue to sanctify us. Help us to be more conformed to your image. Help us to remove these sinful practices that aren't characterizing of a Christian. And at the same time, by your grace, help us to put on and clothe ourselves with godly practices that do characterize us as a Christian, that do reflect who you are. Again, because you have forgiven us first, that's why we can forgive each other. Because you have loved us first, that's why we can love each other. Help us to recognize this and submit to your Lordship because you're number one and preeminent in our lives. We lift up all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.